I'd just like to read four passages from the Epistle to the Hebrews. Chapter 2 of the Hebrews. These are all well-known passages. We'll read from verse 17. Wherefore, it became him in all things to be made like to his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things relating to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to help those that are being tempted. Now in chapter 4 and verse 14. Having therefore a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the confession. For we have not a high priest unable to sympathize with our infirmities, but tempted in all things in like manner, sin apart. Let us approach, therefore, with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for seasonable help. And in the next chapter, verse 7, chapter 5, who in the days of his flesh, having offered up both supplications and entreaties to him who was able to save him out of death, strong crying and tears, and having been heard because of his piety, though he was son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, became to all them that obey him author of eternal salvation, addressed by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, finally, chapter 7, the latter end of verse 21. Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much, Jesus became surety of a better covenant. And there have been many priests on account of being hindered from continuing by death, but he, because of his continuing forever, as the priesthood unchangeable, whence also he is able to save completely those who approach by him to God, always living to intercede for them. I'd just like the Lord's help to speak freshly tonight about our high priest. In the reading, for those who weren't here, we were speaking about what is first, what we put first in our pathway. The woman in Kings, she was asked to make first a little cake in a situation where it would have been the last thing you would have thought she'd have been asked to do, in her destitute, only having enough for one day to feed on, and then that was all she had. But there was abundant blessing came in as a result of her being obedient to the word that came from Elijah. And she was blessed, as we were reminded, by a percentage of 365%. In other words, a whole year, every day of a year, she was blessed. We were also reminded about seeking first the kingdom of God, giving Christ to the first place in all things, and not losing our first love for Christ. Now all these things are very testing. When we put into practice what we've been speaking of this afternoon, we shall find there will be tests, temptations, problems. Because to give the first of what we have in every detail in relation to what's for the Lord is a test. I know that. It's a test when we're young, and it's still a test when we get older. It makes no difference. But what lies behind it all is our love for Christ. And that was the thing, of course, that the Lord Jesus felt very much in relation to Ephesus. They had everything outwardly perfect. You couldn't fault them. If you put a foot out of step, they'd soon tell you that you put a foot out of step. But they lost their first love. And the Lord Jesus felt that very much. He told them to repent. Well, that led me to feel in relation to tonight that we should be encouraged together, that we have one on high, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is serving constantly as a high priest on our behalf. What a wonderful thing, you know. We're not left here alone to have to try and get through our pathway. These scriptures I've read, I've picked them purposely, because again, if you've noticed, we've got a little word that appears in each scripture, the word able. What a wonderful thing, you know, to have one who is able for anything. We're not able for everything. We're not able for anything. Lord Jesus could say when he was here, without me, he can do nothing. You know, it's a scripture I've repeated several times, no doubt you have, no doubt you've read it many times. But when you just stop and think what it means, without me, he can do nothing. What that means is, of course, that you can do nothing that's really positive and going to bear fruit for God. And so we need someone who can be available to us. And as we sang in our hymn at the beginning, the wonderful service of the Spirit that we are given. Every believer is given the gift of the Spirit. What for? That he can serve us in relation to Christ in heaven. We sang in our hymn, we thank thee for thy faithful love, preparing us to dwell above. That's what we've got in mind in these meetings, you know. That we're being prepared, ready, for that day, you know, when our Saviour will return. And we shall see him, and we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. What a day to look forward to, isn't it? But in the meantime, we've got to face a lot of things, and in the first scripture we read about the one, as it says, who it behold him in all things to be made like his brethren. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things relating to God. The high priest has in mind our service primarily in relation to what is for God. And the Lord Jesus came here, and as again another scripture tells us in Philippians, he came here in the likeness of men, taking a bondman's form. Here we're told that he came here that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. What the Lord Jesus understands about us, you know, is far more than what we understand ourselves about us. Wonderful thing to know that. Then he goes on to say, to make propitiation for the sins of people, for in that himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to help those that are being tempted. Now, we can't write ourselves out of that question, out of that sentence. I think every day that we set out, whatever it may be for, as temptation comes into the pathway. But you know, we can start the day with the Spirit's help in the presence of one who understands, is merciful, and is able to help those that are being tempted. What a wonderful thing to have a scripture like that, isn't it? That we can fall back on. I mean, those of us here who are young, how good it is to see so many young people here tonight. You've got a lot to face. You face a lot of things at school, at college. You face things when you start work, things you perhaps don't expect to face. But you've got someone you can turn to as knowing the Lord as your Saviour, who has been through things himself. He knows what your pathway is involved with. He's merciful and he's able to help you. That's what I want to leave with this first scripture, that he's able to bring help in at any time. Now from my experience, you find that temptations come suddenly. They don't just slowly appear. They may do, but from my experience, they are there like that, and you've got to test straight away. You know, that's the wonder of the gift of the Spirit that's given, that the believer at that moment, with the Spirit's help, turn to one who can help, able to help those being tempted. Well, may we be encouraged as we have a fresh view of one who we can draw near to, who is able to help us when we're facing a problem, and we're in trouble. Don't try and use our own energies to get out of it. Poor Peter, you know, knew something about that, didn't he? He got himself into trouble. He denied his Lord and Saviour. In other words, he was, as we said this afternoon, he was relying on the fact that he loved the Lord so much he'd be able to get through any situation. Well, it's good to love the Lord. Do love him. But don't rely on your love, because it will fail. Rely on a love that never fails. The Lord Jesus could say to his own that he loved them, and he loved them to the end. Tells us that love never fails. What that means, it is going right through. It will always be there. And so here, now Jesus is on high and is able to help those that have been tempted. So in our next scripture, chapter 4, we get reference now to our great high priest. What I want to bring out here is that you'll find that he's able to sympathize with our infirmities. But what I want to bring out first is in relation to our high priest, just to touch us to his greatness. It says, having therefore a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Isn't that wonderful? You know, man is trying to delve into the heavens that we can see, that is the stars and the planets, the Milky Way, all these things. Man is trying to find all sorts of things. He's got to Mars, he's been to the moon. He's wondering what next to do. How pitiful really, isn't it? Because it won't get him anywhere. How wonderful, you know, to be a believer. A simple believer on the Lord Jesus, having a living touch with one who has passed through all heavens. Now that means the heavens that you can see. But then there's the heavens you can't see. There's the heavens that contain the stars and all that, but there's that which is beyond it all. And man will never ever get there. No one will get there unless they put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And that will be in a coming day when in a twinkling of an eye we shall all be changed. We shall all be with him forever. What a day to look forward to. Here we've got one on our behalf, serving us as a high priest, who has passed through all the heavens, as it says. Passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. With not a high priest, not able to sympathize, how he can sympathize in relation to every matter, every problem that comes in our pathway. Our infirmities, he was tempted in all things, like manner, sin apart. Only thinking of that a couple of weeks, when we were reading at home at breakfast time about the one who was tempted, 40 days in the wilderness without anything to eat. Satan came and he was tempted. Think of how he met that great foe now. Met him with the word of God. He's been tempted far more, you know, than ever we shall be. But we're told elsewhere in Scripture that none of us are tempted beyond what we can bear. I find that's a comfort. Sometimes when we do go through things, pressures here, some pressures are very great. We wonder if we'll get through. Well, here's the answer. We have a high priest who's been tempted, it says, in all things, in like manner, sin apart. What a perfect person he was. What a perfect person he is. And what a perfect one he is to understand our problems. So you see, you set off, having read the scriptures we read this afternoon, and you have a desire in your heart that you're going to make sure that Christ has the first place each day in what you're going to do. And you find something comes in and upsets everything. What do we do? We have a high priest we can turn to. He can sympathize. He understands. Because as someone said this afternoon in the reading, he knows our thoughts. He knows our desires. Outwardly we may make a mess. Outwardly we may fail. Jacob, a wonderful example, really, of one who failed, did all sorts of things. But God knew what was there deep in his heart. He was a holy man. And God blessed him. God brought him through. And he'll bring you through. He'll bring me through if we're dependent upon him. So in this scripture, it says, let us approach therefore with boldness the throne of grace. What a throne of grace it is, you know, for the believer. And what does it say? That we may receive mercy. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? You might say, well, I have received mercy. I've been blessed, I know, my Saviour and Lord. But now this is something to know what it is to receive mercy as we go along day by day. Are we a merciful person? Can we show mercy to others? We can only show it if we've received it. So there is a necessity of knowing our high priest and turning to him day by day. Then it says, and find grace for seasonable help. Grace day by day. How we need that too. Again, things can happen. Things can happen individually, at work, in our homes, in the family, in our local setting. Something can suddenly burst out. You need grace, seasonable grace, as it says, grace for seasonable help. Help at the moment, just when it's needed. How are we going to have it? Knowing our high priest. Keeping near to Christ where he is. Well, I read, again, just to touch our affections, a little section in chapter 5. I think that's a very touching section we get in chapter 5 in Hebrews. It's something that we never could have ever said if it wasn't in Scripture. But it speaks of the Lord Jesus here as man, who, having offered up supplication and entreaties to him who was able to save him. Think of what the Lord had to face, you know, what he was facing in going into death for you and for me. Think of what he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. We can't enter into what the pressure must have been. It's impossible. Dr. Luke tells us in his Gospel that his sweat became as great drops of blood. He would have known a little of what that meant, probably. I don't. It's beyond me to understand. But he offered up supplications and entreaties to him who was able to save him out of death. He had that knowledge, you know, of his Father, one who would be able to save him out of that condition. What a wonderful thing, you know. Well, it brings out, doesn't it, the depth of feelings as a man that the Lord Jesus had when he faced what it would mean to rescue you and me from sin and danger, to bring us into blessing. How often do we think about that, you know? What it cost the Lord, what it meant to him, that you and I can be here tonight, and we can know something of the joy of the forgiveness of sins, the joy that he's coming again and we shall be with him soon. The cost has been tremendous. And that cost should affect us, you know, that our love for him should be deepened. Don't let us come into the category that one thing I have against you, that you've lost your first love. So he goes on to say, doesn't he, with strong crying and tears, having been heard because of his piety. How touching it is, isn't it, when you think of the Lord here as a man. The feelings that you and I have in relation to things, and yet his feelings will be far deeper and far more concentrated than ours. Our feelings in relation to sin are nowhere near what the Lord's feelings were in relation to sin. The awfulness of it. The terribleness of it. But he felt it all. And then he says he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Can't say much about it, can we? You just have to stop and contemplate. And he came to all them that obeyed, author or founder of eternal salvation. That's what we've come into now because of his sufferings. One who has established eternal salvation. What a wonderful thing to know and to be in the joy of that. Well, we're going to be kept in the joy of that while I read in chapter 7. Here we get the reference in chapter 7 where we read from that he's a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. I know that's been referred to in Hebrews earlier. Just mention it there, because what it really means is he's a priest forever. No beginning, no end. That was what Melchizedek was. He had no beginning, no end. And it's a similar. And the Lord Jesus, of course, he's one who is from eternity to eternity. And then he goes on to say that he became surety of a better covenant. Now what does that mean? It means really what we have referred to this afternoon in the reading. We've got that link, you know, knowing God as Father. Wonderful thing to go through this scene with all the problems that arise with all of us, young and old alike, to know one who is a father. He became surety of a better covenant. Then he goes on to say that he, because of his continuing forever as the priesthood unchangeable, what a comfort that is to us, isn't it? An unchangeable priesthood. In relation to the Lord Jesus, we've got that lovely scripture, haven't we? One who is the same yesterday, today, and to the ages to come. Wonderful thing to have a link with such a person, you know. Great privilege. We who once were afar off, enemies of God, dead in trespasses and sins, yet we've been liberated, set free, and brought to know such a one as this. How it should hold our affections. How it should hold our thoughts. What does he go on to say? Whence also he is able to save completely. That's what I want to come to. Those who approach by him to God, always living to intercede for. Oh, you know, isn't that a comfort to us all? When we're going through pressures of illness, pressures, sadness, pressures in the testimony, pressures at work, problems that may come individually in your lifestyle, things that you were planning to do, suddenly all gone. What pressures there are, you know, that some are going through. But to know one who is able to save completely. Now this isn't initial salvation. This is salvation day by day. Salvation from becoming swamped under the problems of everyday life. Being brought back to the joy of our salvation. That was one thing you remember, because of David, the way he got away from things, he lost the joy of his salvation. In that lovely Psalm 52, I think it is, he asked that he may have restored unto him the joy of his salvation. So it says he's able to save completely those who approach him by God. How we need that, you know, day by day, salvation. As we go along the pathway here, to be able to prove afresh at the end of the day that we've proved salvation during the day. We can know it, it's ours, it's available. The Spirit is given to us with a view that we may keep in close contact with our Lord and Saviour on high, our High Priest. And the other thing is that he is living, as it says, to intercede for us. Living to intercede. I think that's a wonderful touch, isn't it? We may drift away. I don't know what it is to drift away. But you find that he's living to intercede. He's ever there, ever available, always available, night and day. There's never a time when you in any situation can turn to him up and find that he's the one who is able to save completely those who approach. He could be driving on the road, being a pretty sticky situation. I remember driving up to Manchester to some meeting, to a burial. And a car suddenly passed us and went out of control. In a terrible state it was, spinning round, and then it set on fire. You don't have to shut your eyes and kneel down, you know, to turn to the Saviour at any time. You can speak to the Lord as one who is there available at any moment, any time. And I know I did at that time, but I thought we were going to be clouded up, but we weren't. We were saved. We came through. And the person in the car, I gather, was all right too in the end. That was a mercy. I'll just mention that by way that let us remember that the Lord Jesus as High Priest on our behalf is available to us at all times and in any situation, and is able to save completely those who approach the throne, those who approach God. Well, I'll just leave those few thoughts. We've been thinking about things that I find to myself are a test. They challenge us as to just where we are day by day, what do we put first, what are our priorities. And in what we've looked at tonight, we've got someone speaking reverently who is on our side and ready to help us. We're never alone. We're never without help. We're never without divine supply. Whatever it may be, whether it's for comfort, whether it's for health, whether it's for strength, whether it's for increase in the knowledge of God, the availability is there. May we prove it, may we enjoy it. Amen. Amen. Amen.